celebrate his goodness. Hallelujah. We serve a good God. Amen. We serve a good God this morning. Amen. Amen. And I love that. She said, may your struggles keep you near the cross. Sometimes God has to bring stuff in your life to remind you who is in control. To draw you nearer to him. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. Even though it be a cross that waits for me. Dear God, help us to draw near to you, Lord. We thank you for the struggles, God. They remind us that we need you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, that you don't leave us in the midst of the struggle, that you, Lord God, you show yourself strong in the struggle. Even though you may not deliver us out of the struggle right then, God, that we can find peace in the midst of the struggle. You teach us to rely and depend on you. You're good, Lord. We worship you and we thank you for your presence now. Speak to our hearts today. Remind us that you are in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Many of you, most of you know it's been a rough 2 weeks for us. Amen. Maybe 3 weeks, right? And last week I stood up here before you without my wife with me because she was in intensive care at Civista Hospital or Charles Regional Hospital in La Plata with what I told you was complications from diabetes, something called diabetic ketoacidosis. What I didn't get the chance to tell you was during service, she texted me last Sunday. She sent me a text message and said the surgeon just left it and the doctor's saying now that there's something wrong with my gallbladder. And so when I got back, left here and went back to the hospital, the doctors were saying that there was some damage, something wrong with her gallbladder, and that she was going to have her gallbladder surgery to have her gallbladder removed. But what we didn't know that there was something else going on. And I thank God. First of all, I want to thank God for all of you, all of your prayers, all of your support, all of you who came by to visit and provide us with what we need. But I'm so glad we serve a mighty God. So some of y'all who were there with us in the hospital, the doc, she didn't, if y'all saw her, my dad saw her the day I took her to the hospital, she didn't look good. I mean, she couldn't put any clothes on. I had to put her clothes on for her. And we took her to the hospital. She was there. Her blood sugar was out of control, and they said that there was complications from her diabetes, something called diabetic ketoacidosis, something she'd never had before. And while she was there, like I said, they said something was wrong with her gallbladder. So we got there on Sunday, and they were saying when I got there Sunday after church, they were taking her out of ICU. When I got there Sunday before church, they were removing her from ICU and putting her to a regular floor because her sugar was under control. But they needed to check her gallbladder. And they did some tests, and they found something, that her gallbladder was not functioning. Only 7%, the doctor said, that your gallbladder was functioning. And throughout this whole time, she was having 10 out of 10 pain. Any of you have ever been to the hospital, they ask you how much pain you're in. And they say, well, give it a rate from 1 to 10. And she would tell them 10. And they were giving her morphine for the pain. And she had that pain from the time we got there till Sunday night. And then even on Monday when they said your sugar's under control, your acid-base balance in your body is all right, that's under control. The only thing we're concerned about is this malfunctioning gallbladder. And we believe that's what's causing your pain. And so the doctor recommended on Monday that she be discharged and we come back and have her gallbladder removed. And that should resolve her pain. And so we were discharged. We asked the doctor, what do you think is best? And that's what he told us. So we went with his instruction. So Monday, praise God, we were excited. Some of you saw us put on social media. We're out of here. I took a picture of her and said, we're out of here. We're leaving the hospital. We're going home. That was Monday evening. And we got home. But even as we got home, before we could even get home, she was in pain again. So much pain that she had to take Percocet. So we gave her a Percocet and she took that medicine at night and she couldn't sleep. The Percocet didn't agree with her. She couldn't sleep. We woke up the next morning. When I got up the next morning, she was crying in tears, in pain. Her head was hurting and she said, I'm just tired of feeling bad. So I said, we got to go back to the hospital. But I thank God that God has people in the body. I thank God for Dr. Barbara Hutchinson. Because when we got home, I told her, the doctor said we need our gallbladder removed. Barbara said, I want you to see the doctor who took out my gallbladder before you do anything. Mind you, when we left the hospital, they had her on schedule to have her gallbladder removed Friday that just passed. I was supposed to bring her back this past Friday. So when she woke up Tuesday morning and bad and just feeling bad and 10 out of 10 pain, I got in the car. I said, let's go to the emergency room where Barbara is on staff so maybe we can see this doctor and he can take out this gallbladder. Your pain can go away. So we got to the emergency room. I had to help her in. She was in so much pain. They saw how much pain she was in. They actually had, they rushed her in so quickly. And she was back there and the doctor was seeing her. And usually I don't tell people that I'm a doctor. I don't know. I just don't like throwing titles around. I just don't do that. But every now and then it helps to let somebody know. So we were in the emergency room and I just wasn't satisfied with the care. Sometimes go to the doctor, especially ladies, you got to be aware. They kind of was dismissing some of her symptoms and just really kind of moving fast. Does it hurt here? Does it hurt here? Does it hurt there? And I had to say, excuse me, miss, I'm a physician too, and I'm going to need you to slow down. I'm going to need you to slow down and pay attention to what you're doing. Her whole countenance changed, and she began to examine her. And when she examined her, we're just thinking, okay, we're going to get this gallbladder removed. The lady comes back in and says, Miss McKinney, it's not your gallbladder. Your gallbladder is on the total opposite side of your body from where you're hurting. We're worried about your heart. I said, her heart? She never had no heart problems before. And they told us her cardiac enzyme, the one cardiac enzyme that they used to look for heart function, the normal level was 0.04 or less. That's normal. She said, your level is at 8. I said, what? And she knew what that means because she remembered what they told my father his troponin level was when he went to the hospital. And then Barbara walks in the room. And Barbara says, how you doing? And she didn't know all of this. And she was thinking we were talking about the gallbladder. I said, Barbara, they talking about her heart. And she looked at the troponin level. And Barbara went back out and looked at her EKG and came back in and said, Tracy, you look like you're having a heart attack. And at that point, the whole room changed. It scared us to death because people began to run in the room from everywhere. They began to put an automated external defibrillator on her. And it was like 6 people in the room and they were doing all this stuff on her all of a sudden. And I'm standing here and the doctor comes in and tells her, listen, ma'am, it looks like you're having a heart attack. We got to rush you off for this cardiac catheterization. They literally moved a patient off the table who was already getting ready to have the procedure to put her on because it was so urgent. They put her on the table, and Barbara says, Dwayne, it could be one of 3 things. Now, mind you, at this point, I was trying to be strong. And I had to be, I couldn't cry in front of her, so I went over and I prayed over her. But then Barbara walked me in that room. I said, man, I need somebody with me right now. Because I wasn't expecting this, y'all. How many know that God sometimes will allow circumstances in your life that you were not planning for? This will show you who really is in control. Barbara said it could be one of 3 things. One, she could be having a heart attack. 2, she could be having a stress reaction because of what's going on with her mom. And y'all know, if you didn't know, her mom had open heart surgery on January the 9th. They had to replace a part of her aorta. So she was stressed out because of that and all of that going on. And that was a sudden thing. So she said maybe it's a stress reaction called stress cardiomyopathy that she was having. Or it could be inflammation around your heart. And I praise God for praying folks. And Sister Barbara sat and she prayed with me. And she comforted me and brought me something to eat to kind of to get my mind off of it. And the nurse came back and said, I got good news and bad news. The bad news is that she does. She had a blockage, 99%. Her left anterior descending artery, which is one of the main arteries to the heart. If you ever look, if you look up left anterior descending artery, what's going to pop up in Google is widowmaker heart attack. It's the kind of heart attack. Barbara says it's the artery that when men have it, they don't come back from it. It's one of those sudden death things. That artery was 99% blocked. Only 1% of blood getting through. And as I was thinking about that, this is an aside, I thought about that. 1% was getting through, and I just thought about how, listen, the word came to me, one drop will make you whole. It was blocked 99%, but when you got 1% through, preserved that life. And how many know just a drop of his blood? It only takes one drop to make you whole. As I thought about it, it says it was 99% blocked, but we were able to clear it out. We put a stent in, and now we can hold it open. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for his healing. And I'm going to share, the Lord just put on my heart that God is in control. That's all. If you don't remember anything today, God is in control. And I don't know if you, I want her to come and share, because y'all know she don't like to talk in front of people, but God has done something in her life. She want to share a word of testimony. So I'm going to have her come and share what the Lord lays on her heart. Six.
Happen like before Christmas, and I would ask God, like, show me the lesson in this. Then when my mother got sick, I'm like, out the blue, like, she was in Jamaica on a mountain one day, and next day she was here and at the hospital, and they said she had to have open heart surgery, which blew me away, like took my breath away. And I'm like, God, why teach me the lesson with why, when, like, what is going on? And then, like, everything that happened, he just was showing his hand in it, that, like, Tracy, I'm here. Always thought that, you know, if I'm here, my mother was the first, she called me first to get there, and we called the ambulance, and I figured, okay, Tracy, all you got to do is get there, and everything will be all right. Mm-mm. But God showed me, no, it's not you. Mm. It's me.
Amen.
I have control over all of this. I thought I had to be at the hospital all the time and taking care of everything and everybody. And then I couldn't be there. I was too sick, too weak. And God was showing me, I have it. Mm. I have it all along. I take care of her. I take care of everybody. I have it.
Mm.
then after we found out that it wasn't my gallbladder, it was my heart, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I just could not believe that. It just overwhelmed me to know that all of those days, God, I was home by myself Thursday, just sick Thursday till maybe 9 o'clock at night. And God just kept, I would fall asleep and God just kept waking me up day after day, just kept waking me up. Like, I'm like, his mercy is just, just overwhelming. Just to know that he is in control of everything. Amen. Like, and it's just teaching me that, Tracy, it doesn't matter, like, all the foolishness, all the things people say, things people do, like, your children acting crazy, like, none of that matters. Like, it's all... it's all about him. Like,
thank you, Lord.
Like, he changed my focus. Like, it's just, it's all about him. Mm. He has it all under control. Like, I mean, he could have taken me away from here and he has it all under control.
Amen.
Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. When we got home on Thursday night, there was a song I shared about it last week. Brother Dave said it's called The Refiner. We were listening to that at home and just worshiping it. She was sharing with Anika. She said, you know, being in there, God fixed my heart. He said, my heart is fixed. Not just my physical heart, but he did something in my heart. You know, God has to take you through some stuff sometimes. Somebody else knows what I'm talking about. You've been through some stuff. And after you came through it, you were not the same. Whenever you look in the scripture, people that God used, he took them through something. And when they came out, they were not the same. Paul was not the same after he knocked off to that horse. He's not the same. But I can tell you, she's not the same. Her being on that microphone in front of you today means she ain't the same. She don't get in front of people and talk. And I told her, I said, baby, if you don't feel like doing it, just look at me and say no. I looked at her, she said, I said, God has worked in her heart. She said, I got something to say. Today, all I want to leave with us is that God is in control. She said that. She said, Lord, you let me lay down night after night. She started having pain Tuesday before last. But I asked Sister Barbara, I said, Barbara, how long does it take for that artery to get blocked? She said, it takes a while. Meaning she had a 99% blockage for quite a while. And God let her go to bed and wake up every single night. You got to understand, guess what? It is not you. It's not us who keeps it together. We can try to be as fit as we want to be, as healthy as we want to be. You can try to do everything that you want, but God is in control. That's all I want to say today is God is in control. I'm going to read this scripture, Psalm 135, verse 5 through 6. It says, I know the greatness of the Lord, that our Lord is greater than any other God. The Lord does whatever pleases him throughout all heaven and earth and on the seas and in their depths. Then Isaiah 45, 5 through 7 says, I am the Lord, there is no other God. I have equipped you for battle, though you don't even know me, so all the world from east to west will know that there is no other God. I am the Lord and there is no other. I create the light and I make the darkness. I send good times and bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things. Job said, if I accept good for the Lord, should I not also accept the bad times? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As he was having her go through it, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I told her this morning, she said, thank you for holding everything together while I'm, I said, babe, I can't hold it together like you hold it together. I had a whole lot of help. Because y'all know I ain't cooking nothing. But I thank all of you, Sister Keisha and others who provided, Sister Pat and Brother Tony. When I came home, when we got home Thursday, Tony Wilson and Pat Smith were in our house putting groceries away. They had gone and bought groceries for the house. And some of you all have bought food and just prayed and called and visited. Sister Kim showed up. Sister Kim was all the way in La Plata twice. And she showed up at the hospital in ICU. Some of y'all were in ICU, were there almost when I got there. Thank you, Brother Sear, Brother Wayne, and Brother Dave, and Sister Chevy, and just sat there. And one night we were in ICU and we had gone to sleep because I slept in a chair. Y'all know I wasn't going to leave her there by herself. I had gone to sleep in the ICU and I get a text message at 11 something. He said, we leaving. I'm like, hold up, y'all still here? They were sitting out in the waiting room, and I just thank God for all of you staying there and praying with us. Amen. But I want to let you to know, he says, I am the Lord and there is none other. Like, there's none other. And guess what? It says he does whatever he pleases. And I just wanted this morning to share with you some lessons that I learned from what we went through. Is that okay? Number one, God is in control. The first thing that we got to understand is control. I want you to just say the word control. If you got that sheet, control. I'm just going to leave you with this real quick. I'm not even going to be long. God is in control. When you got to understand he's in control, but number one, he cares deeply about you. He cares deeply about you. He's got plans for your life. I just said it earlier. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Matthew chapter 6, he says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? God cares about you. Go on to verse 28. He said, look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. God cares for you. You got to know he's in control, but it's all right to put your hands, your life in the hands of one. Allow him to have control when you know he cares for you. It's hard to trust the control of somebody who doesn't have your best interests at heart. But First Peter says, listen, cast all your worries and your cares on him because he cares for you. The Bible in Romans says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The powers of hell cannot even separate you from God's love. God is in control. Yes, he's in control. But what you got to know, first thing, the context of that control is that God cares for you. And I saw for that when with my wife that God cares for you. He's got a work for you to do. He's got plans for you. And yes, he'll take you through some stuff. And the Bible says in Romans, early in Romans, he says he works all things together for the good of them who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And if you look up down in Romans a little more, he says, listen, don't think that the bad times and the hard times that he doesn't love you. The hard times, he still loves you even in the midst of your trouble. God cares for you. That's the first thing that God showed us, that God, he has definitely shown us how much he cares for us. But the other thing that I learned in all of this is the letter O says that God owns it all. He owns it all. This body is his. The Bible in Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. You don't own anything. This body is not mine. You can have all kind of plans. My wife and I, we're trying to get fit and kind of get healthy and do all these things. She has never, ever had high cholesterol. She's never been on blood pressure medicine. Only thing is diabetes. But what God has just shown us is, guess what? Your body is mine. I call the shots. He owns these bodies. He owns all your, there's nothing you can't ever say, this is mine. Because what everything that I have comes from him. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. What you got to understand today is he owns it all. Psalms chapter 50 says this, I don't need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your all the animals of the some of y'all don't know that reference. That's okay. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's yours. And when you do that, that will change your perspective on everything you do in life. We talk about work. We talk about our bodies. We talk about how we are. My children are not mine. They're his. What God has shown us is that, Dwayne, don't get it twisted. That's not, yes, that's your wife, but she's mine. She's mine. And if he had made the decision, I asked Barbara. Barbara said, listen, she was scheduled for Friday to have her gallbladder out. If you hadn't gone to a different hospital and gone to have her gallbladder out, she wouldn't have made it. And I would have been upset. Said, my wife is gone. He said, listen, I have to be okay with the fact that God, whatever he does is okay because she's yours. God owns it all. Do you recognize that God owns it all? That nothing that you have belongs to you. You wouldn't have it if he hadn't given it to you. He has dropped it off. He is everything we have is on loan from him. It's like the story of the talents, the parable of the talents. He gave to one, he gave somebody else two, he gave somebody else five. He said, what you going to do with these talents? And you got a choice whether you're going to multiply what God has given you. If you got a right perspective to say, this is not mine, so I got to maximize what he's given to me. You got to maximize God's gift. He owns it all. Number one, he cares for you. Number two, God owns it all. The other thing that God showed me is this. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is too hard for him. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. I love the scripture in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. It was a scripture that my brother Sylvester Davis taught us this song that said, behold, I am the Lord. The God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He's the God of all flesh. And there's nothing too hard for him. See, when you recognize he's in control, and no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how bad the situation, there's nothing too hard for God. What Barbara told us, that most people, when they have that, and especially in males, if they have what she had, they die. It's one of those spontaneous. I just had a friend of mine pass away. Some of you know him. It's Pastor Robert Crummy. He's from D.C. He pastors a church. He's the president of Carver Bible College. My brother Robert Crummy was driving his son to work, and he just died in the car, heart attack. He didn't get another opportunity. But is God any less God? No. But God, we got to understand, there's nothing too hard for him. No matter what you're going on in your life right now, there's nothing too hard for God. See, that you got to understand, God cares for you. Oh, he owns it all. And there's nothing too hard for God. And the next thing you got to understand, the letter T is, guess what? Time is in his hands. Time is in his hands. Tomorrow is not promised to you. I mean, we're relatively young people. This is not supposed to happen to us. When she said a cardiac problem, I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, we're 48 years old. She won't mind you telling that. We got small children. Our oldest kid is 11. She can't have a heart attack. What God showed me, with him being in control, you got to understand, time is in his hand. I just had an opportunity, and we were watching it. Me, Dave, and Chevy, and Tracy were sitting down and watching Pastor Tony Evans just share a message right after his wife passed away on New Year's Eve. On New Year's Eve, he shared this message. Some of you watched it. And he said, you know what? You have no idea who the oldest people in the room are. He said, because age is not a matter of how many years you have. It's a matter of how many years you have left. So if you're 50, but you want to only live to 60, you're pretty young. You're pretty old. But if you're 50 and you're going to live to be 100, you're a young person. If I'm 18, but I'm only going to live to 25, I'm real old. See, what you got to understand, that time is in his hand. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And this really made me aware of this. That, Lord, I'm sitting in that waiting room, and I don't know what the doctor's going to come out and say. But I had to, if you look at Job chapter 12, it says, for the life of everything is in his hand. And human being, every breath that I breathe is from God. And I'm at the point I told her, honey, you're going to have to bear with me for a while. Because sometime in the middle of the night, I'll just lean over and say, baby, you okay? Because I think about when I sit and think about it, I was sitting next to her in the ICU, and I would lay in the chair and I would turn toward the window so she didn't see me, and I just start crying. I say, man, Lord, I'm just thinking about what could have been. I'm just thinking that, you know what, I could have woke up in the morning and she just been gone. Not knowing that this was there all the time. And God just impressed upon me, Dwayne, you don't have any control about tomorrow. James chapter 4, you don't know what tomorrow holds. We have no idea what tomorrow holds. A lot of us say, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to do this, today I'm going to do that, you know, I'm going to do the other thing. No, my mom always, I remember this growing up, don't just say, I'm going to do this tomorrow or I'll see you later. Lord's will, I will. If God willing, I'll see you tomorrow. Because I don't know if I'm old yet. Time is in his hand. You know what that impressed upon me? Time is in his hands. It changed my perspective even this morning. You know, normally trying to get to church, I was at her pace today. If you feel like it, we good. If not, I'm good. Normally I'm sitting there like, oh man, I got to get there. But I'm like, you know what? When she says she's ready to go to church, I said, okay, we're going to get there when we get there today. I'm not advocating being late and not planning anything, but God put on my, said time is in his hand. It ain't about what we're trying to control. Oh, we're so busy trying to control things, manage our time, control our time. But what we got to do is go to God and understand, God, time is in your hands. He's in control. He's in control. You got to understand, he cares for you. He cares deeply about you. He owns everything. It all belongs to him. Nothing is too hard for him. And guess what? Time is in his hands. The next thing that I learned from this is that, guess what? God is also a refuge from danger. I looked up the word refuge, and I was looking at the dictionary. It says, refuge is a shelter or protection from danger or trouble. A shelter from danger or trouble. He's in control, but he's a God who's a refuge. God is my refuge and strength, Psalm 46, a very present help in my time of trouble. He's a refuge, and he was my wife's refuge. He was her shelter, her protection. It wasn't in her diet, wasn't in her exercise program. Listen, time is in my hands, and I will shelter and protect you. Every day when you go in and out, day after day, you know, whenever you get in a car, you're riding in a deadly weapon. You don't have any control whether you're going to get to your destination or not. I don't know what's under that hood. I don't know what's wrong going on under the car. God said, listen, I am your refuge. Get to the point whenever I get up, I understand, God, you're in control. You are, my protection is in you. You can try to do everything that you want to do to protect yourself. But guess what? He said, I'm the ultimate protector. I'm the ultimate protector. He is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Listen, I'm going to read the rest of that verses 2 through 3 of Psalm 46. It says, therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. What you got to understand, when you understand that God is your refuge, even though stuff goes haywire, you can remain confident. You don't even have to sweat it. He said, I'm not going to fear though the earth give way. Do you know it felt like my earth was about to give way? Is my wife going to be okay? He said, you don't have to fear. Why? Because I got you. That's what you got to understand. He's your refuge in trouble. That doesn't mean that there is not going to be trouble. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. That's what he said. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I'm the refuge. And I have overcome the world. So look for the trouble, but just know that you can stay cool in the midst of the trouble. I saw a picture on social media the other day, and it was a picture of someone's house. And I don't know. Sometimes you get these things, and you don't know if they're real or not. But it was a home that had been hit by a hurricane or tornado. And in this home, the only thing that was left standing on that house, it was a picture. It was a little closet where the woman used to go pray. It was a prayer closet. It showed a picture of the woman's closet. It was still left standing. And it just kind of reminded me, listen, I'm the one who shelters you. Everything else might blow away around you, but I got you. But you got to understand, there's somebody today who's going through turmoil, trouble. Hell is breaking forth in your life, and you don't know how you're going to get through it. All you got to do, listen, you got to dwell in the shadow. Dwell, hide under the shadow of his wings. He will protect you. Even in the storm might not go away, but when he has you in it, see what God, like she said, God, what are you trying to teach me in this? And while he's teaching you the lesson, he will shelter you. I learned through this that God cares deeply about me. I learned that he owns it all. That there's nothing too hard for him. He showed me that time is in his hands and that he's my refuge from danger. But the next thing that he showed me is he's in control, but guess what? He orders my steps. He orders my steps. As I was just thinking about, we look back, it's almost like you don't know. I can see the hand of the Lord directing us in this whole situation. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I literally don't know what I'm doing. It's not, I can't say I felt the prompting of the Spirit to say, go here. It's just like you just made a decision. And it's like going back, I'm like, why did I even do it? God orders your steps. We went to one hospital and didn't recognize it. Come to find out that all of the things she was suffering with the first hospital was a heart attack. It wasn't even a diabetes complication. The diabetes complications and gallbladder were all a result of the fact that said she was having a heart attack. And the doctor, the surgeon in Anne Arundel said, your gallbladder, I don't even think there's anything wrong with your gallbladder. Your gallbladder is malfunctioning because the fluid is backing up from your heart and causing your gallbladder to malfunction. I didn't know all that. We just said, okay, let's get an opinion here. Let's go here. And when you look back over it, you see, God, you were just ordering our steps. Can I be honest? When I saw how much pain she was in, and I said, Doc, can't you just take the gallbladder out while we're here in the hospital? What if he said, okay, let's do that? She wouldn't be sitting right here today. You know what I heard when a pastor friend of mine, Pastor T.O. Rogers, he called me last night just to love on us and hear about us and let us know he was praying about us. And he said, when you go preach tomorrow, make sure that you tell people when God loves you, he'll make you find stuff you ain't even looking for. When God loves you, he'll help you find stuff that you weren't looking for. He's ordering your steps. How many have a testimony of God ordering your steps? Psalm chapter 32, verse 8 says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. I can't say it was in my wisdom that I said, I know they got the best care over this hospital. I just say, okay, we just go here. What if we had just waited? See if the pain will go away. But what you got to understand, he's in control, and what he will do, he'll prompt you and he'll guide you. Sometimes you may not hear a voice from heaven to say, do this, do that. It's just the prompting of the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. And I encourage you, when you sense that prompting, follow what he says. Proverbs 16:9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. We made plans to have surgery this Friday. Have her gallbladder removed. But God said, I'm going to determine the steps. I'm going to make sure that you don't even get there. God is in control. He cares for you. He owns it all. There's nothing too hard for him. Time is in his hands. He's your refuge in danger. And he'll order your steps. And the last thing is, because of all that, why don't you just leave your life in his hands? In light of all that, what God showed me is, just leave it in my hands. You know, it's an old song. I love this song. It says, why are you trying to figure it out? He's already worked it out. Work it out. He's already worked it out. Why are you trying to figure it out when he's already worked it out? What God is showing me, stop trying to figure out everything. Dwayne, just leave it all in my hands. Leave your life in my hands. Leave the managing of your time in my hands. Leave your money in my hands. Leave your family in my hands. Leave the church in my hands. Because I'm in control. You guys don't control anything. You don't control anything. I'm here to let you know I'm God and I do what I please. But it just so happens everything he pleases is good. Isn't that good to know? When somebody tells you I do whatever I want to do, see, that can scare me. If you say I do whatever I feel like doing, I get scared. Because we're crazy. Because I'm all over the place. I'll do whatever I feel like doing. Usually what I feel like doing is not right. But when God says, I am the Lord, I do whatever I please. And by the way, everything I please is good. Everything I please is in the context of I care for you. So if I have to, like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because he got plans for my life. Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. 3, 5, and 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Seek his will in all you do. And what? He's going to show you what path to take. Lay it all in his hands now. That's what God has shown me. And I told somebody today, we have a new normal in our house. My wife has to take medication she's never taken before. It's a new normal. But even that, guess what? We just lay it all in your hands, God. I don't have to be anxious. Yelling at my kid, what? I'm not yelling. I don't need to yell at nobody. God, you're in control. And because you're in control, I trust you. And because you're in control, God, I know that you care about me. Though things are haywire, things on my family are not like I like them. My job is not like I like it. Everything, things are not right now, but God, I know you care for me. I start right there. This trouble that I'm experiencing is in the context that you care for me. That you love me. And that's, like I said, his love never ceases. New mercies for every new morning. And God, I know you own all of it. I forgive me, God, for getting it twisted. Sometimes I get it twisted and I get upset, uptight, because I think it belongs to me. See, you know, when I think it's mine, I get real possessive of my stuff. But when I recognize it ain't my stuff, I don't hold on as tight. God, you own it all. God, I'm in an impossible situation right now, but you show me, guess what? Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. My time is in your hands. You will shelter me. You're my refuge in the time of storm. And I'm waiting on you to order my steps. Because you do that, God, I'm willing to just leave my whole life in your hands. God is telling me that. Give him control. Move over and let him drive. I know in our job sometimes, and I'm going to close with this, when I'm working, and you know we're in the day and age of electronic medical record. And all of us on our jobs usually use computers of some sort, but most places, if you have to use a computer, you guys have an IT department. And what you know about computers, what I know about computers, every now and then they're going to mess up. And there's some days when I'm in the office and my computer's not doing what it's supposed to do. And what I have to do, I call the IT department. And one of the brothers in IT asked my computer number, and I give him my computer number. And I've been turning my mouse, and he said, take your hand off the mouse for a second. And all of a sudden, I see the cursor moving around on my computer. And he just told me, take my hand off, and he's moving it, and he's going in stuff that I would have never thought to go in, and he's clicking this and doing that, and all of this stuff. And he said, now try it now, and now it works. See, I had to call IT, and IT said, stop moving that, because I'm trying to fix it, but when you fixing it, it's messing stuff up. So take your hands off of it, and let me move it where I need to take it, because I know how to fix it. God is saying, leave it in my hands. I know how to fix whatever's going on. But until you were willing to take your hand off the mouse, off the controls of your life. See, you don't understand. You think you control it. All you're doing is messing it up. And God said, just take your hands off of it. And all of it, in a matter of seconds, boom, my computer's fixed. Doc, try it now. Boom, I'm back. Good to go. Thanks, bro. Bam. That's what God is telling us to do. You want to call on him and let him fix it. Why? Because God is in control. Amen? Can we stand together? Well, before we do that, go ahead, sit down. I'm sorry. There's a song, I told somebody, there's a song that is on my heart that I want to share with you guys. I just want you to sit and listen to this, amen? And just, it's something that has ministered to me. It's a song by Brother Daryl Coley, and it's called Sovereign. And if you've ever heard the song, you know what I'm talking about. And I don't know, Brother Tony, are you able to get it up? Oh, Lord, thank you.
Whatever he wants to do, he can do whatever he wants to do. God can do whatever he wants to do, where he wants to, how he wants to.
to us, Lord God, that you are in control. Lord, yes, you are sovereign. And you do whatever you want to do. And Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord God, that you will help us to find you as a refuge. God, to trust you, to lay our lives, leave our lives in your hands, because you got good plans for us. We worship you. We honor you. We give you glory today. If you're here this morning, I'd like to give you an opportunity to leave your life in his hands. If you've never come to leave your life in his hands, number one, for your salvation. He's got plans for you. He's in control. You listen, we try to control our lives and try to live good lives. And hopefully at the end of our life, I've lived good enough that God will say, I'll let you into my kingdom. But that's not how it works. He's sovereign. And he has determined the only way that you can enter in my kingdom is if you have your sins forgiven through the precious blood of my son, Jesus Christ. And what he's asking for you to do is to leave your life in his hands today. What you got to do is admit that you are not perfect. You got to believe that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, that he was buried and that he rose again. You got to make the choice to invite him into your heart and into your life and forgive you of all the sins that you've ever committed. If you'd like to leave your life in his hands for the first time today, I want you to raise your hand right where you are. Amen. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else yet? I want to leave my life in his hands today. I see those hands. Amen. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will embrace them, let them know how much you care for them, how much you love them, Lord God, how much you got a plan for them, and that, Lord, you want to be their shelter, their protection. Surround them with your love. We love you. We honor you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you raise your hand, I want you to come up here with me. Come up here with me so I can pray with you really quick. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear God. Second is this, if you might be here today, say, yes, Pastor, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I've done that. But sometimes I still try to take the control of my life, and the Lord's showing me, listen, I'm not the one in control. Lord, help me to leave my life in your hands. Help me to let my hands off the controls and let you order my steps. If that's you, say, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. But sometimes I still try to take control. God, I want to give you all the control. Amen. I see those hands. Anyone else? I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I see those hands. Thank you. Why don't we all come to the altar together? I'm with you. I know sometimes I try to take control of my life. God's saying, leave it all in my hands. I've got time in my hands. I'm sovereign. I do whatever I want to do, and all that I want to do is for your good. Why don't we come and touch and agree together? When we come together, let's come together, touch and agree together. God, we want to leave our lives in your hands. You're in total control. Thank you, Lord God. Grab someone's hand up here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these who come. I thank you for their transparency right now. I thank you, Lord God, for their honesty, Lord God. To be willing to come and say, Lord, I admit, sometimes I try to control my life. Yes, I'm saved, Lord God, but sometimes I get it twisted. And today, Lord, I want to leave all of it in your hands. Leave the raising of my children in your hand. Leave my business in your hand. Leave my family in your hand. Leave my marriage in your hand. Leave my education in your hand. Lord God, I leave my health in your hand. I leave all of it in your hands, God, and ask you to order my steps. Help me to trust you, Lord. To trust you, not to lean on my own understanding. To understand that those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. To mount up on wings as eagles, to run and not get weary, walk and not faint. God, help us to trust you, Lord. Lord, even when the storms rage, that, Lord, we will take shelter under the arms of the Most High God. And, Lord, we won't waver, that we will still trust you. Though you slay us, yet will we trust you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.